Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 4th of February. Fastamai, good evening. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, the Department of Health and Social Care has published its new mandate to Manx Care for the coming financial year. Meanwhile, an immigration expert claims reforms to the Manx immigration system removed key safeguards. And a team of rowers is preparing to take on open waters between southern Scotland and the Isle of Man. As always, do drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest news headlines read by Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai.
Fastamai, an advocate specialising in immigration, says changes to the island's policy in 2018 stripped away safeguards for those moving here. Maria Brideson had been discussing the challenges of the Manx immigration system at a public meeting organised by the Positive Action Group.
The Isle of Man government did not know who was here, what jobs they were working in, what they earned, how many dependents they had, and whether those people were in fact safe or being abused.
Manx Care is aiming to deliver 100-day case procedures in the private patients unit by March next year. The healthcare provider is currently progressing plans to reopen the facility. A fresh amber weather warning has been issued by Ronaldway Met Office, the third in 2 days. This one will cover the period from 11:30pm today to 3:30pm tomorrow. And today is the last day to respond to the Steam Packets survey regarding its next new vessel. More than 4,000 responses have been submitted since it opened on the 28th of January. There's a link to it at our website. Further afield, the UK Prime Minister's climbed down over refusing to disclose some reasons for Peter Mandelson's appointment as US ambassador. The government there says national security information will now be referred to the Intelligence Committee after Tory demands for full disclosure. Ukrainian negotiators say American-brokered talks in Abu Dhabi have been productive. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio says he's hopeful but realistic.
You look at the checklist of open items that existed at this time last year and the checklist of open items that remain now in terms of reaching a peace agreement. That list has been substantially diminished.
And four-time world snooker champion Mark Selby has described John Virgo as a great guy and a huge character who will be greatly missed. The former player and broadcaster has died aged 79. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Siobhan, thank you. Gurumayad, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There is an amber weather warning that's going to be coming into effect from 11:30 tonight. That's through till 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. That's for coastal overtopping. The usual areas likely to be affected. Elsewhere today, dry with variable amounts of cloud, fresh southeast wind, backing east and strengthening overnight, minimum temperature of 5 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, the Department of Health and Social Care has published its new mandate to Manx Care for the coming year. It's a long and fairly technical document, so let's break it down with none other than Siobhan Fletcher. Hello again. Can you just tell us what this mandate is actually doing?
Yeah, hi, Christian. So in simple terms, it's the government setting out what it expects Manx Care to deliver over the next year, what services must be provided, what standards they should meet, and how closely performance will be monitored. It's effectively the instruction manual for how the island's health and social care system is meant to run from April.
And what are the main priorities that people at home should know about?
Well, there are five big ones. The first is safer and quicker care, reducing waiting times, particularly for outpatients, cancer treatment and dental services. Then there's a strong focus on governance and money. Manx Care is being told it must tighten financial control and deliver millions of pounds in savings while still protecting frontline services.
That doesn't sound like it's a new request, though.
Well, it isn't, but the tone is noticeably tougher than in previous years. The department is clearly saying that it wants clearer data, clearer accountability, clarity and fewer surprises.
What about closer to home? That's something people often talk about.
Yeah, that's a major theme. So the mandate pushes for more joined up health and social care, fewer unnecessary hospital stays and more support in the community, especially for older people. There's also a strong emphasis on prevention and early help for children and young people, including in mental health support.
And if Manx Care doesn't meet those expectations?
Well, the document spells that out very clearly. If targets slip, Manx Care has to explain why and how it will recover. If problems continue, the department and ultimately the Council of Ministers has the power to step in. So in many ways, this is the clearest signal yet that government wants delivery, discipline and results while still trying to improve access and care for patients. However, it's worth noting that the pay packet that Manx Care has to operate within isn't yet known, so that won't be revealed until the budget is set out in a little under 2 weeks' time.
Siobhan, thank you very much for that. We'll stay with the health service because Manx Care is aiming to deliver 100-day case procedures in the private patients unit by March next year. It's currently progressing plans to reopen the facility. Sean Cowper has the details.
The private patients unit at Nobles closed in January 2019 with a refurbishment completed in early 2020. It's since been used to provide additional hospital space during COVID, a vaccination hub, and to accommodate the recent relocation of Martin Ward from Ramsey. Responding to a Tynwald written question, Health Minister Claire Christian confirmed work is now underway to re-establish a private day case and inpatient service, initially to focus on procedures such as cataracts within the first quarter of the 2026-27 financial year. Manx Care's mandate for the year ahead, which was published earlier this week, requires the board to provide assurance for governance arrangements for the service by the end of April 2026. The healthcare service has commissioned the Housden Group to provide specialist commercial advice to deliver a number of targets by April 2026, including developing a five-year private patient strategy, establishing a clinical and corporate governance framework, and creating a commercial framework. A recent Freedom of Information request from Manx Radio revealed the Housden Group's work will cost between £10,000 and £20,000. Since Manx Care was established in 2021, private services have focused on outpatient and diagnostic services. Despite these restrictions, Manx Care says revenue from private patient services is forecast to increase from £438,000 in the 2024-25 financial year to £750,000 in the current period. The minister confirmed the private patient strategy document will be shared publicly once it's been signed off by Manx Care and her department.
Sean Cowper there with that report. 7 minutes past five, the Isle of Man government did not know who was in the island, how much they were earning, or whether they and their dependents were safe. That's according to an immigration advocate, Maria Brighton. She's told a public meeting that changes to the Manx immigration system, which were introduced in 2018, removed key safeguards.
It removed obligations on employers and it positively encouraged overseas recruitment, as opposed to local recruitment, either specifically within the Isle of Man or within the CTA. And in the past, the low level of checks that existed within the Isle of Man immigration system didn't matter very much. Because if you've only got 57 new people coming in each year, then you're pretty much going to know them by sight, where they work, where they live. And you track them through their immigration journey from when their first arrival, may renew their visas, they might get married and change their name, have a child, and then eventually they might get permanent residency, naturalise as British citizens, and get a passport. And so basically a system of local Manx skeet and knowledge means that you can pretty much keep an eye on it and work out where these people are living, where they're working, and that they're actually still here. But this trust-based system didn't work very well when you scaled up the numbers at a considerably higher level of applications. And as I said, the Isle of Man chose not to adopt those hostile environment measures. So its immigration system operated in an ecosystem with far fewer checks. And we all know how well the different Isle of Man government departments speak to one another. And so there was no sharing between who was accessing health and education or where people were living. The Isle of Man government did not know who was here, what jobs they were working in, what they earned, how many dependents they had, and whether those people were in fact safe or being abused. And really within government, there was just very, very strong encouragement to process more, bring in more people. Nobody looked at the overall cohorts or earnings levels of those people that they're bringing in. It was a simple numerical target.
Maria Brighton speaking there. Now, we have approached the government for a comment on this, and Lewis Foster joins me now. We do have a response.
That's right, Christian, yes. Government says inward migration remains important for addressing skills shortages and supporting public services alongside efforts to help people stay on or return to the island. Government points to a review brought to Timwald in July last year, which noted an increase in arrivals and looked at the pressures that can create. Since then, it says progress has been made to strengthen the system, including tougher compliance checks, enforcement activity, and enhanced controls at ports.
And are there any further changes on the way too?
So government says more tightening across immigration routes is being considered, with further announcements expected in the coming months. It's also highlighted steps to ease pressure on services, such as the immigration healthcare surcharge approved last July, and regular assessments by education officials to ensure schools have the right staffing levels. The Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, as well, did say the concerns raised by Maria Brighton were penetrating and that work is ongoing to modernise and strengthen the immigration system.
Lewis, thank you very much for that. Now we'll stay with border matters. A bill introducing new extradition laws on the Isle of Man has now completed its passage through the Legislative Council. Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson has previously told MHKs the changes are designed to create a clear, transparent and locally run system, replacing reliance on external frameworks. The legislation was brought forward ahead of this year's Moneyval assessment, and the bill was taken through LegCo by Kirsty Morfitt, who afterwards spoke to political correspondent Phil Gorn.
No, I knew nothing about it before. I suppose I am lucky that because we've gone away from the UK, this is an entirely new piece of legislation in its entirety. So that enabled me to understand the core elements of it first, what was required. A lot of research with other small island jurisdictions, Jersey and Guernsey particularly. Jersey have been through a couple of extraditions, so learning from their experiences. But I've been very, very lucky to have the backing of the Cabinet Office, and particularly Anne Shimon, the officer there, has been brilliant at explaining things at a level that I am able to understand so that I can then go forward with my scrutiny, because that's one of the weird places you find yourself in. You have to give each and every bill equal consideration, and even if it's not an area of your expertise, you have to learn as much as possible so that you are doing your due diligence.
I imagine people would be quite alarmed and saying, oh, well, this is hiding what should be a public debate, so we don't get to find out what the members think. But effectively, what you're talking about here is quite technical, detailed stuff. It's not policy principle. Policy principle tends to be discussed actually in the more formal branch sitting.
The policy principle isn't our job. The policy principle is for the House of Keys, the consultation process. We always have the opportunity to speak, and so we can have things put on the record if we want to ensure that the community can see that, but also that it's there for posterity, for the future, if we need to go back to it.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, figures on school suspensions were raised in the House of Keys. John Moss was in the chamber. He joins us now. First of all, John, what did we learn?
Well, this came from a question by the Arbury Castan and Maloo MHK, Jason Morehouse. He asked how many pupils were suspended for longer periods last academic year. The headline figure is that no primary school pupils were suspended at all.
So, presumably, they're all in secondary schools.
Yes, all in secondary schools. The Education Minister, Daphne Kane, told the House that 52 students were suspended for between 10 and 19 days, and a further six suspended for 20 days or more between September 2024 and July 25.
Did the Minister say anything about how these decisions are made?
Well, she stressed that suspension is a last resort and is often used reluctantly, usually where there are serious behaviour concerns or safety risks to other pupils. She also said most students who are suspended are already known to staff and are often receiving support either within school or from external services.
And do we know about how much learning time was actually lost to those suspensions?
Well, unfortunately, we don't know. That detail wasn't broken down, so the total number of school days lost because of suspension isn't known from these figures.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Right, let's take a look at the roads to begin with. In Douglas, we've got temporary lights on Finch Road for sewer work. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Ballinard Road near the Scollag Road, 24 hours a day for resurfacing. Elsewhere in Braddon, a short stretch of the West Baldwin Road is closed. That's south of Injabrek for service crossing installation. Over in Peel, we've got temporary lights on the promenade. That's near Crown Street. And in Ramsey, North Shore Road is closed for drainage work. That's between the promenade and the Old River Road. Looking down at the steam packet, not looking so great. The 6:30 evening sailing is cancelled. Similarly, the overnight one too. Tomorrow's a bit up in the air as well. All of them could be disrupted or cancelled due to the poor weather conditions. We are expecting an update on those, whether those will go ahead by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll bring you the latest when we know, but definitely one to keep an eye on. And we'll take a trip down to Ronalds Way Airport. Everything on my screen is looking green and blue, so everything is all good there. If there is anything which we've missed, then do ping us a text, WhatsApp to 166 177.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
Now, Public Health Isle of Man has launched a new survey looking at medicinal cannabis use. Chanel Suku's with me now. First, Mike, just talk to me about what the focus of this is to start with.
Yes, Christian. So it's really about building a clearer picture of how medicinal cannabis is being used across the island since the law changed to allow it to be prescribed for certain medical conditions. But it's wider than that as well, because the survey also looks at alcohol and illicit drug use, as well as people's attitudes towards substance use more generally.
And who is being asked to take part here?
Anyone living on the Isle of Man can complete it. It's an online survey that opened today and it runs through until the 18th of March. Public Health is keen to get as many responses as possible because that helps make the findings more robust and useful.
And do we know what will actually happen with the results?
Well, the data will be analysed by Liverpool John Moores University, which is carrying out the research on behalf of Public Health. Officials say the findings will be compared to earlier studies, including the Isle of Man Substance Use Survey from 2022, and that will feed into a report expected later this year.
So it's really about building an evidence base then?
Exactly. Public Health says it's about understanding patterns of substance use in society, particularly now medicinal cannabis can be prescribed, and using that information to inform future policy and public health planning.
All right, Chanel, thank you very much for that. Now, it appears there's movement at last on the long derelict Park Road site in Douglas, with education plans due to go before Tynwald later this month. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture wants to build a new two-form entry primary school on the land. The proposal follows a motion from Douglas East MHK Jenny Farragher urging the government to take action after more than a decade of inaction. Minister Daphne Kane has been speaking to Manx Radio's John Moss.
I don't want people to get their hopes up that they're going to see this school in the next 12 months, because obviously that's not likely. And the timelines given is indicative only. That's when we were continuing the work, this is where it goes. Before any development of a two-form entry primary school on Park Road, there would obviously need to be the full government process and the planning process as well.
Being a primary school, I presume it's less complicated and that the children will be kept within the confines. You're not looking at sort of the outside the school as to where they go to collect their sweets or food or whatever.
Yeah, I think it would be considerably less intensive use of the site than we saw with Park Road when it was the Lower School of St Ninian's. But in terms of the use of the site, there would be sports facilities that would be community use or usable as well, and there would be more outside space and more pleasant outside space than currently we have for the primary school, Scotland Jubilee, particularly on the Murray's Road site.
This is a cleared site. It's a simplified problem, in effect.
It is, but it's a significant investment and planning required to ensure that we get the right design appropriate for the needs and a modern school. But in terms of the number of properties that could be accommodated on that site, having done the numbers, you'll see in the paper, in fact, designing the number and size of and kind of properties that are required for the people currently on the housing list could be easily accommodated on Murray's Road and Ballochwale sites once the school has moved to the Park Road site.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, do you fancy counting some birds? Well, next month, farmers across the Isle of Man are being encouraged to take part in the annual Big Farmland Bird Count. The event, which runs from the 6th till the 22nd of February, encourages farmers and land managers to record the bird species and numbers on their farms, and also aims to raise awareness of the important role they play in helping farmland birds and to measure the impact of the conservation work that many farms and estates carry out. Paul Fletcher, the chairman of the Isle of Man Farming and Wildlife Advisory Group, has been explaining.
The commitment and the idea behind it is a small window of time. Farmers are incredibly busy all the year round, never more so in the winter months when the feeding jobs take twice as long, especially fighting against the weather, and daylight is limited. But it's to try and find half an hour's time from first light through till dusk, ideally at times when the birds will be feeding and so on, they're more likely to be spotted. And the idea, rather than it being on a fixed appointed day, obviously at this time of year you don't need it, anyone listening doesn't need me to explain the variances of the weather, and like all organisms, birds, if it's a poor day, might be less visible. So the idea is at some point over, it's 2 weeks and three weekends, farmers and members of the public that want to engage with farmers get out and have a look and just see what's there and obviously record what's there, and then we've got to collate the records and share them across to England.
It's not a bad way to spend half an hour, is it? It must be quite rewarding, a nice peaceful way to spend half an hour as well.
Yes, just to take a moment or two. And this weekend, what we're going to do is provide the opportunity, kindly agreement to Stuart and Barbara Clegg at Ballinet Nature Reserve, going towards London Old Church. It's 2 o'clock, we're meeting there. You make use of the offices, there's a meeting room downstairs. And it's just to share a few basic rudimentary ideas. We've got some members of the British Trust for Ornithology coming along, and hopefully some members of the team from Manx BirdLife, possibly from Manx Wildlife Trust, and some of the DEFRA officers to come along and just share some of the key tips for bird observation and bird counting and identification. And then there's the opportunity, because they've got the Nature Reserve Ballinet, and there'll be principally be wetland birds that will be seen, not so many farmland birds on Saturday afternoon, but it's just an opportunity to practice the skill set. We'll be giving out copies of or sharing access to spotting sheets and recording sheets that farmers and public can make use of, and then we'll have a cup of tea and a bit of cake.
Paul Fletcher there, talking to Lewis Foster, the chairman of the Isle of Man Farming and Wildlife Advisory Group. Now, come spring, a team of rowers will take to the open waters between southern Scotland and the Isle of Man in a hand-built wooden craft, otherwise known as a skiff. The challenge is being organised by the Wigtown Bay Coastal Rowing Club, with funds raised going back to supporting that organisation. A crew of four will set off from the Isle of Whitthorn and row across to the island. The club's chair, John Maguire, has been speaking to Dave Moore.
Basically, they're a traditional design boat by a man called David Outred. I think he recently passed away, and they're off the Fair Isle design boats. They're very reminiscent of Viking boats in their shape. They're quite narrow and isometric at both ends.
And what's the risks involved in this? What is the challenge?
The whole idea with the boats is coastal rowing, and we're going to be crossing open water. The seas there can be quite challenging from the Burra Head to the Point of Ayre. The seas can be quite rough and choppy, even in the best of days. So it will challenge us through like my navigation and experience to the rower's endurance, mental capacity to keep going through challenging times.
And in terms of what you're trying to achieve financially, where is the money going? What are you trying to do?
Just about to open up a new boat shed. The costs of that were a little higher than anticipated. So we've got things that we would like to forward the club and like make it more inclusive for people, make it easier for people to get out in the boat and try and encourage people to get outdoors, enjoy themselves rather than being stuck in the house all the time.
And how much are you trying to raise?
We've not actually put gross figure on it. We're just asking to see how it goes. I think we set our GoFundMe up at 2,000 to start with, but we were hoping that we will make more than that.
Well, good luck to them. Hopefully the water will be less choppy than it is now. I can't imagine going around in a wooden hand-built craft in those sorts of conditions. Right, let's turn our attention to sports, brought us to you by the Print Shed. Darren Timpson is here with us. Fastamai, Darren, what can you tell us?
Fastamai, starting in athletics, Isle of Man's Regan Corran set a new personal best in London at the weekend, competing in the under-20s men's long jump event at the South of England Indoor Championships on Saturday. Regan leaped a distance of 7.31 meters. The jump also set a new Ireland indoor record as he finished second on the podium. On Sunday, Regan then competed in the high jump, winning the competition with a height of 2.08 metres. Elsewhere, an Ireland sprinter made her debut at a European competition at the weekend. Megan Pilley travelled for the World Athletics Indoor Tour bronze event in Ghent. On Sunday's meeting, she ran 7.86 seconds in the 60 metres before recording 25.88 seconds in the 200 metres. The Manx Harriers athlete now has 2 weeks of training before competing at the British Indoor Championships in Birmingham. She will contest the 60 metres. Isle of Man tennis star Billy Harris was beaten in round one of the ATP Montpellier on Sunday. He lost by 2-1 to Frenchman Clément Tabour despite winning the first set 6-4. It's a third singles defeat in a row for Harris after a 2-1 loss to Tiago Torres in Portugal 2 weeks ago and his qualifying round defeat in the Australian Open. And in snooker, Q Zone Blinders won the crucial top-of-the-table clash against leaders, the Hurricanes, reducing their lead to 2 points in the Man Crane Highest Snooker League. They beat the table toppers 3-2. Elsewhere, Q Zone Masters lost 3-2 to Finch Hill Mob, Finch Hill Musicians beat Finch Hill Rockets, Port St Mary Legion edged out Port St Mary Strollers, Malou beat the Miscues 5-0, St Olav's won every game of their Snooker Barbarians, and Douglas Snooker Bar Wannabes beat the Q Ballers 4-1.
Gurumayad, thank you very much for that, Darren. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next is Howard Kane with Spotlight, Chris Kinley to follow with Greatest Hits from 6 o'clock. Ernie Thorne is in the hot seat from 9, and Dave Moore taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. Beth is back with you tomorrow, so until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.